Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for today's program. It's a follow-up to my last episode, The Career Trap, except today's program is called Escape the Career Trap. Today, I simply want to share some true stories about people who successfully shifted into doing the work they love. And if you want to avoid or get out of the career trap, then I want to help you get inspired. I want to show you how creative thinking helps as you hear other stories who were once in the career trap. Before we get started, let me just briefly summarize what the career trap is. Basically, the career trap is a belief system that makes you think, I've got to do it this way because it's the way I'm expected to do it, or maybe it's the way you've got to do it because you think it's the only way to do it, and you question it. And it can become a crisis. And even if it's not a full-blown crisis, at the very least, it makes you feel trapped. Now, why do you think I know so much about it? I mean, sure, it's because of my work as a career consultant, yes. But I've also been in the career trap. Before I shifted gears from my former career as a recruiter into my work now that involves career consulting, writing, giving programs like this, I was in the career trap for several years. My belief system said, for instance, let's just take career consulting. I thought it was supposed to look a certain way. When I first looked into the option, and this was back, what, in 2005, I believe, is the first time. Now, I started networking with career consultants and meeting them, and they became part of my professional network back in, like, 1998, 1999. And now 2005 is when things were kind of shifting with my company, and I was thinking, you know, I think maybe this might be a good time to look into the possibility of career consulting. These are friends of mine, and I like them, and I felt like I was like them, so why not look into a career? And so now here's where the career trap comes in, right? You have a belief system. I thought to be a career consultant or a career counselor meant that I needed to be at a career, like doing career work at a college or a university. Now, doesn't mean I didn't meet other people doing it in different ways. It's just that I thought that would probably be the way that I could do it. You know, what utter hogwash, right? When I looked into it, I needed to have a master's degree, which I do not, and had no intention of going and getting a master's degree. And when I looked at what it paid, I thought, I make more money as a recruiter. So I stayed trapped a little longer as a recruiter. So, you know, that's just what it is, right? The career trap gives you a belief system. Like, for instance, here's another aspect of this. I do teaching. I give classes at the University of Texas in the Center for Professional Education, and I also do a lot of teaching through this kind of medium, and I give talks to people like job seekers and so forth. But, you know, when I was a kid, I thought teaching, it was like you had to teach kids and be teaching in a school, in a traditional school setting. But, of course, also utter hogwash. I mean, today I do teaching, and it's so rewarding. So you see what I mean? The career trap comes in different shapes and sizes because, well, so do we and our belief systems. So what happens is that the belief system shuts down creative thinking. But right now I want to help you open your mind so you can start to see how you might escape the career trap yourself. I'm not going to give you a formula or anything. That's because each person's situation is unique and many factors go into how you might approach your own escape plan. Because of my experience, I've seen that there are a large variety of escape routes. But you'll see what I mean by today's examples. And I want you to be inspired. I want you to open your mind and think about what you could do for yourself. Okay, so all that being said, I want to begin with a quote, get us really kind of revved up here, a quote by Howard Thurman, one that I'm sure you've heard before, and it's one of my all-time favorite inspiring quotes. Howard Thurman said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go for it." Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? Very inspiring. Yet, to be honest, each time I see that quote, I can't help but also feel a little sad. Because of my work supporting people in career transition, I see this quote, and I think of all the times I've asked people what they really would like to be doing. like what Howard Thurman says here, what would make them come alive, right? And then I hear a depressing no-can-do answer. So, I mean, after more than two decades in the career business, I'm pretty sure I've heard it all the career trap beliefs. Some of the most common include, no one wants to hire me to do what I really want to do. So there's no jobs for that, or no one wants to hire me to do it. I can't make money doing it. Well, that's a big one. I'd be laughed out the door when I propose it. So if you think you might go to your current employer and try to propose it, too scared to do it, you know. I tried it, and it didn't work out. That's another common one, too, for the more daring and brave among us who try to do the career trap, get out of it, and then find ourselves back into it. I'm too old. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too broke. I mean, et cetera, and so forth. There's just so many no-can-do statements that I've heard. Just fill in the blank, though, with whatever depressing no-can-do statement you like, and I'm going to be telling you that my answer will still be the same. There's always a way to do work you love. And why is that? Because you can do it even if you don't get paid for it. Now, that's a big career trap belief that we have, right? That what we want to do in the world, that we have to do it through our career. So talk about a career myth. That's a whole different podcast, one that I've done before. But just because you don't get paid for it now doesn't mean you won't ever get paid for it. Sometimes taking steps toward it makes more sense, and that's what I did. That's how I transitioned into the life that I have now, by taking small steps toward it. But let's talk about, you know, some of the really cool people we all pretty much have heard of, right? I mean, people with great minds who have made great contributions to their society, to our society, and they got laughed at. They failed. They didn't get paid at first for their dream. They were too old when they started. They were inexperienced because they were pioneers. They didn't have any money and all of that, but they figured out a way anyway. Take, for instance, Albert Einstein. His teacher thought he daydreamed too much and predicted he'd never amount to anything. Yeah, right. Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's at age 52. Now, maybe you're not into fast food, so you don't think the Big Mac is much of a contribution to our society, but then I would say think again. Have you heard of the Ronald McDonald House? An amazing program that helps provide housing to the families of hospitalized children. They also give grants to nonprofits that focus on the needs of children, and they offer scholarships to students in the U.S. So just because you may not want to go eat a Big Mac doesn't mean the Big Mac hasn't contributed something to our society. And what about Henry Ford? You know, he figured out what the world needed and what made himself come alive by studying the way meat processing was done, and he adapted the methods as an assembly line to build automobiles. And he started off as a farmer, decided farming wasn't for him, and then became a machinist, and then later went into the automobile industry. Now, he didn't wait for a market survey to tell him that he should or shouldn't do what he did. In fact, inventors of the automobile were often laughed at because they thought they'd, you know, never catch on and nobody would ever replace the good old horse and buggy. And by the way, just thinking about inventors of the era, can you imagine what people must have thought of those crazy Wright brothers playing around down on the beach in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, thinking that they could make their contraption fly? So when people are enthusiastic about what they do, think about that. They're just simply more attractive to those who might be willing to buy in, whether that's during an interview with a prospective employer so you can get hired, or during an interview with an angel investor to get an idea funded. So what makes you come alive? I say figure it out if you haven't already, and then find a way to do it. The world needs more aliveness energy, not more depressing no-can-do energy. And when I say find a way to do it, that's what I mean by doing some creative thinking and some creative planning, coming up with some sort of a plan, even if it's just to take baby steps toward your new goals and your dream. Like, what do you do when you realize that the work you would love to do requires you to find a new job or even a new career direction? Well, first you take the first step, right? And that's, you got to make a plan. Now, to inspire you to make a plan, here I'm going to tell you about the career transition plans of how three people, very different people, real people, I'm changing their names, though, to protect them, but who I worked with them, and they successfully shifted their career in major ways. So I have three examples for you of real people. Not so, yeah, you might think, oh, yeah, Einstein, he was a genius, of course, you know, and Henry Ford, a genius. Well, hey, they were everyday people too, you know, and we have examples from everyday people. So there's this electrical engineer I worked with, and he was an electrical engineer for more than 15 years, and he worked for a Fortune 500 company. And I'm going to say his name is John. John wanted to teach math and science to high school kids. That was his dream. So here's what he did when he got laid off, and now he's in an experience of, well, I've got to do some creative thinking. He arranged networking meetings. This is the first thing he did. He arranged some networking meetings with teachers so he could learn the ropes and to find out what it takes to be a teacher in his community. He knew a teacher in his neighborhood, and that person introduced him to someone else, and so he got a couple of interviews going with other teachers so he could find out what that would be like. The next thing he did is he went and found out that there was a substitute teaching certification program, and he went and tried out for that and got heard back from that about his application. And then he went and did some substitute teaching. Then he went to a specialized job fair where they were recruiting teachers and hung out and met teachers and talked to the people hiring the teachers. And then he began to volunteer through his local Partners in Education organization, which paired him up with a school that needed a math and science tutor for their students. So you see, he did his homework. And he found out what it takes to do the job. And most importantly, he learned that he gets along well with the student population he'd be teaching. So he kind of projected himself into that environment, took some steps toward it, had some substitute teaching experience, did some tutoring. And the last time we spoke, he'd been hired at a high school in a town nearby my hometown, right outside of my hometown of Austin. Yeah, so he's working at a high school now. So, okay, so here's another one. Stephanie's mom, her dad, and her husband all had contracted, not at the same time, but kind of overlapping, serious illnesses in the course of a year. So practically the same time. And as her husband underwent a second round of chemotherapy, she decided that she was more passionate about helping people prevent and deal with illness than she was about her project management job. And so as fate would have it, in her case too, the company was restructuring, and they eliminated her job. And so here's what she did. First thing she did was realizing that health and wellness was attractive to her. She signed up with an education certification program and became a health coach. She created business cards, a website. She joined several organizations so she could network. She regularly attended startup support meetings given by the certification program so she could launch her business successfully. And she made really good alliances and really great connections with personal trainers and local health clubs in her company. So talk about being excited about having a deeper purpose as a health coach. I mean, so she started looking forward to being able to use that natural ability to nurture her experiences, personal experiences with her family, and then she can serve and teach people. So that's a second really good story of a person I worked with. Here's another one. Julie, who was formerly an elementary school teacher, she left her career and became a stay-at-home parent. This is a very common kind of client I work with, someone who has had to exit the workforce for a little while, and then they want to come back into the workforce, but they're not going to come back in the same thing because she didn't want to come back in and be an elementary school teacher. So what, you know, but while she was in high school, her youngest child was in high school, she was thinking, what would it be like if, you know, if like all my kids were in college and that's coming soon and all that. So what she did was she developed her resume highlighting her volunteer experience as a compassionate leader and caregiver. So there's a lot of things she did, including working in projects for her church, and she did some work with the Girl Scouts because her daughters were in Girl Scouts. And as a breast cancer survivor, she had been volunteering with the local Komen, Susan B. Komen Foundation here in town. She was a passionate volunteer for a local hospice as well. She gathered names of hospices and made a list of possible contacts. And then she did some informational interviews with hospice workers to learn more about being in that field. She took a class, and she got a certification in volunteer management. And then not long after we were working together and got her resume together and all of these things happening and all this information, she emailed me and said that she had applied to and was entering a master's degree program in social work, and her goal was to become a grief counselor. So I hope you're inspired. I have a ton of stories. These are just a few of the people I've worked with that have had done amazing things. And a lot of times it's not that I'm helping them with this as much as I just ask the right questions and they take it and run. They get creative and they go find ways to do it. As you can see, they all took different paths. There are some things in common, yes, but for the most part, they all had a very creative approach to what they were doing to make that transition. So they were all making major changes. Some of it was new training and education, you know, but maybe your dream requires a much smaller shift. You don't have to go get a master's degree in social work or something like that. Maybe your plan simply requires you to sit down and do what I call a gap analysis, where you determine where you are now as compared to where you want to go, and then, you know, figure out what you need. And maybe it's not even very much. Maybe it's just a re-messaging of your skills and your abilities. And maybe you make some strong resume changes. So whatever it is, please don't wait any longer to go for the work you love. Take it from me. I mean, it took me a couple of years from the first time when I realized, and of course at the time I didn't realize I was in the career trap, but I was, and it took me a couple of years before I shifted. I could have gotten into it much faster and more robustly than I did, but, you know, how can you accelerate and escape that career trap? It's really all up to you. Life is too precious to settle for less, and the world really needs your talents and your enthusiasm. But hey, it's up to you to escape the career trap. So go ahead, take the first step and make your plan. Think creatively. Escape the career trap. All right, that's what I have for you today, and that's a wrap. The next program is going to be on October 2nd. This is something I've been thinking about doing for a while, and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to begin a series focused on Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements. I know that a lot of people have covered The Four Agreements, but I have some personal points of view having experienced it. When I started following the Four Wise Agreements he suggests in his book, my life changed hugely, changed for the better. And so I want to talk about that. That's next time on October 2nd. In the meantime, if you want to reach out and you want to connect with me, please do. You can use angelaloeb.com to find me. That's angelaloeb.com. And now it's time to go. Until next time, please do be well and keep on shining like you're meant to.